SliceOfSciFi.com.
Hi, welcome back to Slice of Sci-Fi. This is Summer Brooks, and with me today is director Mike Mendez, who has presented us with yet another, shall we say, silly, fun monster movie. This is what monster movies are supposed to be when you're not interested in being scared, but just having a lot of fun. The movie is Big Ass Spider. It came out on DVD on January 7th, and thank you for joining us today, Mike.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you for the intro. That was lovely. Yeah, no, I agree. I think monster movies should be fun, so that's great to hear.
Yeah, you can't have an overload of scary horror. Every now and then you just want to sit back on a sofa with your friends, some beer and some popcorn, and just laugh, right?
But no, that's how I feel. I mean, I kind of think the kind of sort of midnight movie, if you will, or at least what's taken its place, the gathering of a bunch of friends watching something kind of gory and fun and silly, you know, I think that's kind of become less and less as time goes on. So, you know, when you have an opportunity to do that, I think it's wonderful to try to do that.
Okay. Now, for our audience who doesn't know anything about Big Ass Spider yet, the synopsis says it's a failed military experiment that unleashes a 100-foot giant spider across Los Angeles, and the military can't control it, so they call in an exterminator.
Yeah.
Just a thought of that. It's like, okay, we have all the military hardware, the best guns and missiles the world can make, and we need the Orkin Man.
Okay, now no one's going to stop him, right? He can't beat a pro. So,
Now, I have always thought Greg Grunberg was a lot of fun. I loved his character in Heroes, and just seeing several different movies where he's had the chance to portray silliness straight has been a joy to watch. How did you approach getting these guys to embrace the madness that is this movie?
You know, a lot of begging, pleading, bribery, you know, whatever it took. But, you know, Greg was a great guy. You know, he one of the stories I always tell is that, you know, such a low-budget film, we couldn't really afford a casting director. So I had to kind of go on, friends of friends or people that I had access to. And Greg was on that list. So a friend of mine, Darren Munbausman, who directed the Saw 2 through 4, was kind enough to put us together. And, I gave Greg the hard pitch, you know. I showed him effect shots, and I told him that this was doable. But, you know, I think what was really great was that Greg's been in a ton of things, in a ton of J.J. Abrams shows and lots of stuff, but he's never really had the chance to be kind of front and center. That was, I think, something that was probably appealing to him and certainly was a great catch for us, is that, you know, he has the chops to be a leading man, and I think he got enjoyed the opportunity to do so.
When you were presented with this story, this project, what was your initial take on it, your approach to it?
Oh, my initial reaction was like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. You know, it's like movies are usually terrible, you know, and you know, there's such a stigma with them, you know, and it's largely, you know, because most of them aren't very good. You know, they kind of take themselves too seriously, and they kind of, are cheap, and unfortunately they kind of have they're looked down upon, I guess is the best way to put it. And I didn't, you know, you have, that's an obstacle going into it, but the God's honest truth was, you know, I it had been a while since my last movie, and I was anxious to get behind the camera, and I kind of, you know, took a more positive attitude of like, look, I mean, you know, that's just because people look down on it doesn't mean that it has to be bad. Just because, you know, people's preconceived notion is that it's going to be trash doesn't mean that it has to be. And that I really felt that this was an opportunity, you know, if I approached this correctly, this was an opportunity to do something fun. And at the, you know, at the worst case scenario, I just felt that I could do better than the stuff that was kind of being presented out there. And even if it was destined to be a television movie or wherever it was going to go, I just wanted to make the best one that I possibly could. So, and I just kind of got people on board with that attitude, and that kind of became the mantra of the shoot, was defy expectations. Because, you know, when it was shooting, it was called Mega Spider. And the first question was like, oh, when does it air on Sci-Fi, or is it for The Asylum? And that would kind of get under my skin. I'm like, why are you prejudging it? You know, you haven't even seen it. But you know, I understood with a title like Mega Spider, that's kind of where people's minds went. So that was part of the reason I made a huge push to change it to Big Ass Spider, which didn't matter because now people that were copying Sharknado. We were shooting this movie well before Sharknado was a twinkle in somebody's eye. But so be it. That was my initial reaction.
And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a silly B horror movie, because some of the Sci-Fi Channel originals were entertaining. They were fun. They were silly. It's kind of like a snack that's bad for you. It's good while you're enjoying it. And later on you go, oh, why did I do that?
I'm not sure. There's so many of them, you know. I mean, I don't know how many Sci-Fi original movies there were. I saw, you know, a fair amount of them. Most of the time, I didn't really have that good a time. But I'm sure there were some gems. I don't know, what were some of your favorites in the batch?
There was one. I think it was called Wyvern. I think Yancey Butler was in it. It was silly to the point of, I can't stop watching this, but I have to find out how it ends.
That's awesome.
And there was a recent one with Billy Zane. I think it was Leprechaun. There was a level of surrealness to it that would have made Kafka blush.
Okay.
What were some of the challenges you faced while shooting this?
You know, a lot of it was just the budget. You know, we had 17 days, you know, to shoot it, and we had quite lofty ambitions. You know, we really wanted to do a giant attack movie. And so that gets tricky. You know, you're limited on the amount of extras you have. You're limited on your locations. But there's a lot of stuff that I kind of put in the script to try to do a little bit of a sleight of hand that you were thinking you were seeing more than you really were. You know, like the first almost half the movie is inside a hospital, is inside one location. And, you know, there are fairly extended scenes that are inside like an air vent and stuff. And that was, you know, fairly affordable to do. And then when big crowd scenes happened, that's when I would use my social networking skills and try to get an ad and get my friends off of Facebook and Twitter to come on out and join us for the day or whatever. So the big park attack scene and the opening scene were all, social networking. So that was handy. I'd say those were probably the biggest challenges.
Huh, flash mob filming. I like it.
that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Meet me at this time at the park and, basically, you know, paid everyone in hamburgers and a good time. So,
The 17 days is kind of a quick shoot, even for a low budget horror movie, isn't it?
No, it's about, I mean, you know, sadly in this day and age, that's about, you know, in some ways it's luxurious. I certainly have friends and certainly God knows a lot of those, Asylum films and a lot of the sci-fis are probably shot in 12 days or sometimes even less. So 18 days, I look at it as kind of like your standard low-budget shoot. But, it's hard. You know, it's really hard. You know, I really look forward to a day where that's not the case, you know. But I've almost grown accustomed to doing it. So 18 days doesn't scare me, and this was even slightly less. But I would cheat a little bit and, shoot stuff on my own on the weekends and stuff. So, you know, it was definitely an ongoing production long after principal photography had shut down.
So what is your approach to the post-production, doing the special effects?
Well, we had an interesting opportunity. We dealt with a company called Ice Animation that was located in Pakistan, and we did effects over the internet. You know, we literally would kind of go back and forth on the effect shots from here or there. They had a representative that was here during shooting to supervise everything to make sure that they had the right materials. And then the good thing is that they got very ambitious with us and really tried to push it as far as they could as well. I think they kind of ended up regretting that because it was a year and a half process of post. So, I mean, in some ways, I mean, it almost feels miraculous to me that it's even over, you know, but yeah, it's crazy. So that's how we approach the effects.
Wow. A year and a half of digital effects. That's.
Yeah. So, I mean, I edited the movie myself. So, you know, so we were really, you know, I was kind of me, one of the producers and them kind of, you know, bantying back and forth, on notes and effect shots and what's time to do this and whatever, but no, it was serious, but it you know, it was serious, but very indie at the same time, you know, so.
Well, that's good. Literally, as long as the fun you had filming came across in the final product, which it seemed like it did. That's
right,
the end goal, right?
Yes, absolutely. So that was the idea. I mean, we were having a good time on set. We wanted that to carry over into the film. So,
now, has this made you want to do some more silly horror movies? Because there is a market out there for it. I just judging by some of my friends who love this kind of stuff.
I only want to do silly monster movies or silly horror movies, but you know, I don't know. I mean, they're hard to come by. The horror comedy is a tough sell. So they're not always going to back you when you're doing that. So, you know, so I don't know. I would love to make more of this type of stuff, but I'd love to make more films and more genre stuff, whatever it is. So
what's your favorite, corner of the genre?
I guess the best way to put it, my favorite, you know, horror movie and my favorite movie in general is, Evil Dead 2. I like that. I mean, that's, slapstick, as they call it, you know, which again is unfortunately a rare breed of film. There's really not that many people who do it. There was Peter Jackson, there was Sam Raimi, and you know, there's not that many people do because it's a hard sell. It's hard to sell gory movies, especially now. So you know, so it is unfortunately a tough market. But you know, I try. I want to get a little gore out in there, into the world. You know, so we'll see.
Okay, what are you working on next?
Next up, apparently what we'll see, is a movie called Don't Kill It, which is kind of like a dark action movie with a lot of gory kills. It's kind of like a demon hopping movie. It's a demon that hops from body to body and, the demon hunter that is hunting after it. So it should be fun. Definitely an excuse to kill a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to doing that if it all comes together.
Excellent. So we will definitely keep our eyes out for that. Thank you for your time today, Mike.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. The movie again is Big Ass Spider. It is available on DVD and probably also on your streaming. Look for it. It is a fun, silly time. I recommend popcorn and beer and a bunch of friends to laugh at.
Excellent.
Thank you. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.